Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be back with you once again. We're probably going to have to say this every day this week, but hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, I hope that you are safe, warm, and not lost under snow, because that seems to be what's covering up much of the U.S. But thankfully, I have found someone in the midst of this snowpocalypse, another person who's familiar to the show, a friend of the show, Drew Heel of the Daily Memphian, has been kind enough to join us to talk all things Grizzlies now a third of the way through the season. Drew, it's been a few months, but it's really good to catch up with you. How have you been, sir?
I've been good. It's been a busy year. Obviously, the Grizzlies are kind of chugging along. We got a nice little break there for when they had their COVID problems, but now we've got the snowstorm, and it just feels like it's kind of been one thing after the next all year. So we're staying busy, but as always, it's nice to join you, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's always a pleasure of ours to certainly get to talk with you. Always fun to talk with you. And, you know, let's get right to it. So you mentioned it, you know, it seems like this year that no matter what, you know, we kind of came into the season expecting it, but you also kind of want to get past these waves. Well, the Grizzlies have had their own issues with COVID. And now we've just learned this morning of, you know, San Antonio now just out all of a sudden having a mini outbreak. But, you know, so much craziness going around the NBA. But the Grizzlies, despite the COVID interruption in the season, despite a plethora of injuries to some pretty significant players, you know, first question, just straightforward, the Grizzlies at 11-11, with all that you've witnessed and seen from them, how do you feel about them with where they are versus where you expected them to be at the start of the season come around Valentine's Day?
So I think there's two ways that you can look at it. I think you can look at it from a perspective where they've exceeded expectations, because you can say, okay, not only are they 11-11, but they've played 8 games without Ja Morant. I think they've played 5 games without Jonas Valanciunas. They've played all their games without Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. And they've played 3 games without Brandon Clark. So you missed a lot of your key pieces in a lot of these games. And that's, you know, not to mention D'Anthony Melton has missed time and Desmond Bane has missed the last 2 games. And you've been playing very shorthanded this year. And so I think from that standpoint, to be sitting at 500 right now, you would probably say that they've exceeded expectations, that they've performed better than you would expect them to perform over, you know, this early stretch. But I think you could also look at what they've played against. They've been pretty fortunate to play against teams without their star players. So when you look at what they've played against, you know, you played games against the Cavs without Colin Sexton. You played games against the Nets that you won when they were missing some of their star players. So when you look at the big picture, I would say that they probably fall right in line with where you think that they would be. When you take everything into account, when you look at it from just looking at the schedule and looking at where you think they would be at this point in the season, I think 11-11 is right around what you would probably guess. But then when you look at it from an injury perspective, then maybe they've exceeded expectations a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really, you know, interesting and logical way to look at it, because I think when you look at so many different aspects of this team, you know, there are a couple of different ways you could look at it. You know, that's a good answer for a lot of these things. And one of those aspects is, of course, Ja Morant. You know, me and you had talked about, you know, early in the season, this team is going to go as Ja does. And Ja obviously dealt with a very uncertain January due to the ankle injury, due to the COVID break, you know, not anywhere near the routine that he and many expected. But, you know, he is another player that, you know, kind of, you know, you could look at it two different ways. Yes, there is a bit of regression so far when it comes to his defense, when it comes to his shooting. But I do think that you also have to look at it from the aspect, 5 straight games with at least 15 points and 9 assists. If this is his established floor, that's saying a lot for a guy that's in his second season and is 21 and a half years old. Just your overall thoughts about Ja and kind of where you see him headed, you know, going in the near future.
With Ja, I guess his shooting, if you want to call it a negative trend, I mean, I just think that this is kind of the ebbs and flows of a NBA season. I think what we saw from him last year from his three-point shooting where he shot closer to 35%, I think that the number this year ends up somewhere around there. And I know he's been trying to work on that and improve in that area. I just don't think that from an NBA perspective, maybe with Kyle Anderson being the exception, you don't really see an overnight turnaround on someone's shooting. It's kind of a process to become a better shooter and make more three-pointers from one season to the next. So I think from a shooting aspect, this is kind of what I expected from Ja. Like, it doesn't really surprise me that he's struggled a little bit, because he did struggle a little bit at points last year. I think at some point this year, the numbers will go up and he'll shoot the ball better, and maybe we'll overreact to that, and the truth will lie somewhere in the middle with him. And then from a productivity standpoint that you mentioned, and he's going for tonight, they will play the New Orleans Pelicans. At least we think they'll play the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. And he'll be going for his fourth straight double-double. That would be a career high for him. And like you said, his game is not all about how many points he scores. I did expect his scoring numbers to go up. Like, I figured he'd probably finish the season in the low 20s maybe as a scoring average. Right now it doesn't look like, you know, he may not get there, but if his assist numbers stay up, he still has just as much of an impact on the game, especially if he can get to that 10 assists per game mark or 9 assists per game mark. And he's starting to get to the point where he's consistently doing that over and over and over again. That's just as good, because whether Ja's scoring or anybody else is scoring, it's still points on the board for the Grizzlies. And we saw Ja say a couple nights ago that he's not a stat chaser, that he doesn't care about his stats. He just wants to win games. And if he scores 0 points and he impacts the game by being a passer, he's perfectly happy doing that. And I think that speaks a lot about his maturity and where his headspace is, you know, in this second season. Is he's trying to get this team to be in the playoffs. And right now at 11-11, like we said, they're on pace to at least make a play-in situation. So for him, I would say that this season has been mostly productive. He did have a couple hiccups here and there. Teams have kind of looked at him differently and approached him differently, but he's starting to get that figured out. And I would say overall, it's been a good start for Ja Morant.
It certainly has been. And one thing that I also think, you know, has really helped out his start is finally when he's getting to play with Jonas Valanciunas. Now, at times in the past, Drew, me, you, and others, we've seen plenty of talk about it when it comes to Grizzly social media. I mean, the crazy thing is that, you know, you could talk about Jonas's value on the court, his limitations, whatever it may be. Could he be a trade piece? You know, I think that, you know, yeah, you can make logic of that. But, you know, we've talked about, ever since the Grizzlies traded for him, how well he checked boxes that Jaren Jackson Jr. didn't, how well he complimented Jaren Jackson Jr. But I think we're also starting to see just how important Jonas is to Ja's game. The numbers are staggering when, you know, when Ja plays with and without Jonas. Now, I think that one thing certainly emerges, the importance of Jonas Valanciunas, and with how much this team wants to make the playoffs and with how much this team wants to be competitive, Jonas is now getting to the point of being pretty indispensable when it comes to this team needing to consistently play at the level that it needs to be to accomplish their goals.
Yeah, Jonas has been huge, especially since he came back from his COVID, the time he was out with COVID-19, and the time he spent when he had already recovered and just needed to kind of get his wind back. He's been great ever since he came back, and I think you hit it dead on. He's really important to Ja, not only because he's proven that he can score inside, but because the Grizzlies need a bruiser. Like, it does really help Ja when they have a guy who's a total bruiser out there who can push people around and make a difference in the paint and clear space for him. Because without him, you kind of see how Ja can struggle, especially when they blitz, you know, him on these ball screens and they come up and try and get the ball out of his hands. It's so much easier for him when he can give it to a guy where if Jonas has an undersized defender on him, he's going to score most of the time. Xavier Tillman's been good this year, but you can't say the same for him. And so is Gorgui Dieng. He's been good, but we know Gorgui is not Jonas Valanciunas. So I think that, to me, it's like having that guy who can be the bully, who can push people around, and who you know is going to get rebounds and score underneath the basket is just such a big comfort blanket for Ja and is so important to him. And so that's also the other reason why. And, like, I've seen it on Twitter, like, I can't believe people would even consider trading Jonas Valanciunas. Now, I think that was a very small percentage of people that talked about that or really considered that to be a real option. But you're starting to see why he is so important to the team now. And, yes, they did go on that long winning streak without him. But now you're starting to see his real worth ever since. And they did that against teams that maybe losing him didn't hurt so much, with the exception maybe being the Suns. That I'm surprised that they were able to get that win, even with Ayton having a good game. I think overall, yeah, Jonas has really proven his worth over the last couple games, and he's more valuable than ever right now, especially to Ja Morant's development when there's no Jaren Jackson on the floor.
And I think that you're correct. You know, Jonas's value is certainly there. And the reason, even though they may not be winning like they were in the past, like you alluded to, a few minutes ago, the Grizzlies were fortunate. You know, over the past 2 years, and this is not taking anything away from the Grizzlies, they certainly have exceeded expectations. But when it comes to the playoffs, I think it's also fair for the realization, that last year it was, injuries that hurt Portland and Golden State. This year, the Grizzlies have been fortunate about missing out on some of their opponents' best talents. And so you got to consider all that in place. The Grizzlies are playing tougher competition now. They need as much talent as out there. And if they don't have Justice and Jaren, it's always nice to have Jonas in place. But I do agree, he certainly has. And you don't just see it in the box score. You know, it's clearly there with the chemistry that he has and just the confidence that he gives the rest of his teammates. You know, speaking of confidence, that is something that you truly are starting to see emerge on a daily basis between Taylor Jenkins and his roster. Coming up, I want to ask Drew about his biggest takeaway from Coach Jenkins' influence this year, and then which player has taken the biggest step forward and which player has taken the biggest step back as far as the Grizzlies that have been available for most of this season. Today's show is sponsored by CBDMD. Now, we all know that getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but I've got a great idea to certainly help make that more of a reality for you, at least a more consistent reality, and that's CBDMD. Our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to get the sleep you deserve. CBDPM blends melatonin and other sleep-promoting ingredients with 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And to make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. Obviously, football was here, and now it's gone. Well, with it in the rearview mirror and several months away from starting up again, the thing is that there's still plenty of sports to certainly enjoy. No matter the teams that you cheer for or the athletes that you love, if part of your fun as a fan is wagering and betting on sports, I've got the one place for you to trust and the one place that has you covered to help you profit from here on out, and that is BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, the latest and the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you visit the website or through your mobile device, and again, get 50% on your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day and all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So we're coming up on 100 games. I think Taylor Jenkins is now, I think he may get it at the end of this week again, 4 games in 5 nights, Drew. that the Grizzlies are coming up, starting tonight against the Pelicans. So coming up on his 100th game. And I think that you're starting to see, you know, some of the ideal identities that Taylor Jenkins has for this team emerge. Number one of all is the ability to pass. I think that the Grizzlies are establishing themselves as a truly, you know, above average to best in the league type of passing team. But you're also seeing the shooting really improve up and down the roster. But with all those things considered, your takeaway from Taylor Jenkins' influence this year, it certainly seems like he's answering the questions that he's a difference-making source of value for this Grizzlies team.
Sure, there are really three things that kind of stand out to me, and probably soon to be four when the Grizzlies finally get healthy. But there's three things that have kind of stood out to me when it comes to Taylor Jenkins so far this year. The first was how that they were going to handle the change in defensive strategy with Ja Morant. When Ja went into his little slump that we talked about, and they were started blitzing every ball screen, and he sort of struggled and the team was struggling, it was on Taylor Jenkins to figure that out, to help Ja work through that and find the answers to that. It appears, at least now, and in Taylor deserves some credit and Job deserves some credit as well, that they've worked out those issues and that they have answers to that now, and they have a different sort of strategy as to how they're going to handle that on the offensive end. And Job's been doing a good job of getting the ball out of his hands and to the right guys on time every time teams try to do that to him. And of course they've been packing the paint against Job from the very beginning, and he's just so good that he finds ways to score in that area regardless. So to me, that's one big thing that Taylor Jenkins area where Taylor Jenkins has made an impact this year. The other I would point, we talked about this before the season. I think I made the prediction that the Grizzlies would, on this podcast, that the Grizzlies would lead the NBA in assists this year. As of now, they're first in the league in assists per game. They haven't played as many games as other teams, obviously, because they took the COVID break, but they're on pace to lead the NBA in assists this year. So for now, that prediction looks good. And I think that's just part of the system. Like, the Grizzlies have done a really good job of sharing the ball from the beginning. That kind of comes from what Taylor Jenkins has learned under previous head coaches. And it all kind of falls in place when you look at, you know, that coaching tree and sort of the way that these offenses operate. They're very good at sharing the ball. And as you mentioned, a lot of the Grizzlies are shooting well right now. Grayson Allen's shooting well. Desmond Bane has been shooting well. Kyle Anderson's been a much improved shooter this year. So that all translates to more assists and more points. And so I think Taylor Jenkins' system has worked there. And then lastly, I think that the last thing to keep an eye on when it comes to Taylor Jenkins, and this to me might be the most interesting of the three points, is the defense. Because the Grizzlies started the year as a really, really efficient defense. They were the number two defense in defensive efficiency in the league for a while, behind only the Lakers, who kind of everyone expected to be number one. And everybody kind of said, oh, is this defense legit? Are the Grizzlies a defensive juggernaut? And I think the answer was, not really. I mean, yes, they have a very good defense, but they were playing against teams that were missing some of their stars, and they kind of came back to earth over a stretch where they allowed 115 points, I think, in like five straight games or something like that, five or six straight games. But I think that what you've seen is that Taylor Jenkins has just prioritized making opponents shoot shots that the Grizzlies are comfortable with them taking. And over that stretch, they gave up a lot of three-pointers. But the whole time, Taylor Jenkins kind of sat back and said, don't panic, I'm not really worried about this. A lot of teams are just shooting, you know, the lights out right now against us, and this is not going to be a trend that continues. And I think his sort of comfort level there and plan and confidence in the defense and what they were doing speaks volumes, because – you've seen the last two games, you know, with the exception of LeBron James being LeBron James and Anthony Davis being Anthony Davis, two of the best players in the league. He's been right. The shooting numbers have sort of come back down to the level where you would expect them to be. And the Grizzlies defense, once again, looks like it's been pretty good. So to me, that was kind of the most interesting thing, is finding that balance on defense between, okay, we're going to give up shots, but we're going to give up shots that we think we should give up. And if other teams make a lot, then the common fan might look at that and go, well, they're playing terrible three-point defense, or they're playing bad defense, when in reality, it's just the NBA. And sometimes you're going to play against teams that shoot the ball really well. And sometimes you're going to play three straight games against teams that shoot the ball really well. And that's sort of what's happened with the Grizzlies, and it's been on and off. But I think in general that Taylor has done a really good job with the defense this year. And to me, that's kind of where I think he deserves the most credit.
And I agree with you. And you know, you talk about the assist. You know, we're recording this podcast before the Pelicans game. You know, I've kind of been tracking it on my end. The Grizzlies can make a little bit of history over the next two nights. So you had mentioned Ja Morant could set a new career high for consecutive games with double doubles or with double digit assists. He could tie the record and then break the record for most consecutive game by a Grizzly with 10 or more assists in the game. And then the Grizzlies could also set a new NBA record for the most consecutive game for 27 or more assists. So it's really becoming implemented in their system of success in terms of passing the ball. But the other thing is, you know, people are talking about, you know, over the weekend about, you know, especially in the game against the Lakers where there were so many fouls, you know, seeing more emotion out of Taylor Jenkins, that's just not him. You know, he's a very even-keel guy, and it's a reflection on the rest of the roster. When Ja Morant and Kyle Anderson both said don't get too high or too low, that's Taylor Jenkins himself. Me and you know that from the post-game interviews. He's never too high, never too low, just straightforward, gives his answers, always focused. And I think that that's the perfect type of mentality for a coach with a young team. But speaking of a young team, now obviously you want to see progression as well. And so, Drew, when you look at this roster, I think that I know probably one of the names that's going to, you know, be the answer to this first question. But when you look at this roster, take Ja away, take JV away, obviously Justice and Jaren. What one or two players stand out to you as having taken the biggest step forward so far this season and have really been, you know, impactful on the Grizzlies' success?
Okay, come on. You know, this one's obvious. It's Kyle Anderson, right? I mean, that's he's been the answer all season long. A career 31% three-point shooter who's now become a consistent three-point maker for the Grizzlies, especially in the last few games. And if you were a believer in he had a shoulder injury and maybe that's why his shot wasn't as good the last couple of years, then you look pretty smart right now, because he's played extremely well. He plays both ends of the floor. He plays offense. He plays defense. And I think we were planning on maybe getting into this a little bit later, but I think he also makes Taylor Jenkins' job a little bit more difficult when some other players come back, because he is playing so well for them this year. And to me, yeah, I mean, that has to be the most obvious answer is Kyle Anderson. There's other names you could throw out there that have been impressive. Like, I think if you were to redraft the draft, Desmond Bane isn't going pick number 30. He's going a lot higher than that based on his 3-point percentage, and he's played really well this year. Xavier Tillman has given some good minutes, but in terms of progress, I think the answer is easy. You got to go with Kyle Anderson there.
100%. And you know, you saw it at the beginning of the season. You had hoped it would stick. I think teams adjusted a little bit to him, you know, especially when Ja was out. But then, you know, with Ja and JV now and that attention from those defenses having to focus on those two, Kyle Anderson is just making a huge difference up and down the court. And it's been so wonderful to see. Flipping it a little bit, you know, we've seen several Grizzlies who were struggling to start the year who have taken a step forward. But in terms of what you've seen, Drew, just considering, you know, that this we exceeded expectations but kind of stayed where you expected to be, does anyone kind of stand out, maybe multiple Grizzlies stand out, as someone that's kind of taken a step back, at least to the point of, you know, being, you know, not as progressing as much as you thought they would coming off last year?
In terms of progression, I mean, the easy answer is Dylan Brooks, just because – you would hope that he shot the ball better than he has so far this year. And a lot of times, you know, we've talked about, and other Grizzlies media have talked about, how he's right now not playing a role that he maybe should be in, because you're missing so many offensive pieces. that he feels the need to take some more shots. But before the season, it did seem like he was locked in on becoming a better passer, and distributing better and having a timing that works within the rest of the group, where he's not, you know, going off and taking some crazy shots that hurt the team. I think he hasn't completely fixed those problems. And I don't want to say he's maybe regressed, because I think part of it is just you go up, the shooting goes up and down. And I think his shooting will go back up to about what it was last year. And he'll be like a 35, 36% 3-point shooter. And he'll score over 20 points in some of these games. But as far as becoming a much improved player and like a different type of player that's going to fit within this team a lot better, I just don't know if we've been able to see that yet. And I think we still might get a chance to see that from Dylan. Like, I don't want to write him off as like a player who regressed this year now, before they get Jaren back, hopefully next month in March, and before they, you know, add Justice back and whatever else. So, I don't want to just write him off as that, because I still think that there's time. But for me personally, he just hasn't really lived up to the steps I thought he could have taken this year. And then also, it's just been kind of frustrating to not have D'Anthony Melton on the floor as much as we would have expected. And I wonder, you know, he's had a couple of DNPs this year where he just didn't play in a game. He missed time because of a contact tracing issue. He's now missing time because of a shoulder problem. I don't know that when he's on the floor, he's giving you about what you would expect, but it's kind of been disappointing that he hasn't been able to stay on the court much this year, and we haven't quite seen as much from him as I maybe would have expected when the season started. So I would also kind of put him in that category as well.
And the thing that I'll say is this, is that, you know, one thing that you kind of alluded to was that, you know, the thing with Dylan is that, you know, one of the reasons why he probably has been, you know, it's hard to see the progression. You don't want to call it regression, but just the ups and downs, is because, as many have alluded to, he's probably in a role that's more expanded to where he's playing more of a role right now than he should. But we have not had the ability to put him in his ideal role, because we haven't had our raw roster fully healthy. That is something, though, on the horizon we're hoping to see in the next month. And I'm going to talk with Drew a bit about that. While many may be certain that Justice and Jaren should be in the starting lineup, I don't necessarily know if it's much of a guarantee now as it once was. We'll get Drew's thought on that. Drew's thoughts on that coming up here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. If you're someone like me, whether and you're staying home more often than you usually have, you know, before everything that's gone on over the past year, and of course right now here in the Memphis area with all the snow, one thing that you may want to focus on is getting healthier. And that starts with small things that you can commit to, small steps that can lead to bigger benefits as time goes on. Well, one suggestion that I've had over the past year that I really do believe in now, as I've made it a part of my daily routine, is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, a small but significant step that you could take each day to add health benefits to your day. Have it in the morning for breakfast, the afternoon for a snack, before or after a workout, or when listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. It's a great addition to your day. And the best thing about it is that there's 18 different flavors you could choose from over at BuiltBar.com. So whatever your taste preference is, you're likely to find it there. Also, if you go to BuiltBar.com and you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order from Built Bar, which will allow for you to really make it a part of your day. And I can say this with confidence, when you make it a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com right now, put in the promo code Locked On, and get 20% off your next order from Built Bar. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. To subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get podcasts. So, Drew, I find it hard to believe, and I'll give Taylor Jenkins another, you know, credit nod on this. You know, the numbers are pretty obvious that the lineup of Ja Morant, Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas, there's a reason why this team consistently gets out to hot starts with the starting lineup, and it's because of how well these teams play together. They are a very effective unit when they play. So, you know, Jaren, when he comes back, is going to start. But I just don't see how right now you can take Kyle out of that starting lineup. And, you know, with Desmond Bane and Grayson Allen playing as they are, I just think straightforward, you may not see Justice or Dylan starting like you assumed throughout this year. Do you think that it's now fair to question when Justice and Jaren come back that both Dylan and Justice will be starting, or do you think you're going to have to stick with Kyle Anderson in that starting lineup?
I think that's a totally fair question to ask, and I would agree that I think you have to leave Kyle in the starting lineup if he's playing as well as he is now. Where it kind of gets messy, like where it gets hard to make a decision, is of course Jaren's going to be in the starting lineup, and he's one of your best 3-point shooters, so having him on the floor makes a big difference. But we've seen what having guys like Grayson Allen and Desmond Bane, who make shots on the perimeter, can do for Ja Morant. And Ja has even talked about it recently, about how nice it is to have Grayson Allen shooting the ball as well as he has been, because, you know, him and Tyus feel like the moment they start getting downhill, the defender has to make a choice. All right, am I giving up a three or am I giving up a layup to Ja or to Tyus? And so if you take that away, you might make it a little bit more uncomfortable on your best player. And so I also think that there's a question to be asked about what you do with Dylan Brooks, because we know so much of his game relies on confidence, and he kind of has this opinion of himself that's obviously very high, and that he's a really good player, and you don't want to hurt his confidence, because then I think you can hurt his game. And so the question becomes, okay, do you kind of need to slide Dylan up to the two and then leave Kyle at the three and then throw in Jaren at the four? And that would leave Justice Winslow out of the mix. I think that's a possibility. You could do that. You're going to lose the shooting of Bane and Allen, but you're going to add the shooting of Jaren Jackson. So to me, maybe that's the correct answer, or maybe it's what you mentioned, and it's that Dylan Brooks and Justice Winslow don't start at all, and that you just leave it as Bane or Grayson Allen along with Ja Morant, and then you slide Kyle Anderson up to the three and move Jaren to the four. I don't think that there's a wrong answer to that right now, and we're going to find out by watching him play, and I'm sure Taylor Jenkins is probably going to experiment and see what works and what doesn't. But to me, especially with Justice, like, it's pretty hard right now to see him in a spot where he's going to slide immediately into the starting lineup. And I got to be honest, from watching him take his – this is obviously different in a game, but watching him warm up on the floor before every game, like, he's not that much better of a shooter than Kyle Anderson. He may not be a better shooter than Kyle Anderson right now. And so if you're taking away shooting from this team, I think you're going to end up hurting the team. And so is Kyle Anderson going to be better at what we've been saying Justice Winslow at for the reasons we were saying Justice Winslow would start, which is defense and playmaking? Is Kyle Anderson going to be better at that and be a better shooter than Justice Winslow? I would probably hedge and say he would. So to me, it's kind of hard to see Justice coming in and being a starter right away once he gets healthy.
And you hear Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins, including Justice, in the conversation with Clark, Jaren, and Ja as a piece of this core. And obviously, for good reason, you know, the idea is certainly there. But I mentioned before the season started, it's a two-layer question to me as to even whether they pick up his team option. Number one, does he return healthy? Number two, does he differentiate himself in terms of adding value from Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony Melton, two similar players? And with Kyle playing the way he is, it's hard to see that equation occurring. But obviously that factor is certainly there. And we'll get to, you know, a question that I have for you as far as, you know, between now and the trade deadline. But another thought that I wanted to get from you is this. So 4 games in 5 nights, Drew. And we're going to see probably a few stretches like this, as the Grizzlies are going to have, you know, still have six games, I believe, left, five or six games left to make up. You know, how much do you think that this congested schedule, you know, is going to be? Kind of hard to see without knowing the second half of the schedule, but it looks like that the Grizzlies are going to have some of these very congested weeks coming up, and you hope it wouldn't, but that could make an impact later on in the season in terms of their, you know, playoff hopes.
I look at it sort of two ways. I look at it as they are a young team, so if there's any team that should be equipped to play more games in a short amount of time, I would say it's probably the Grizzlies. But I also have concerns now because, for example, when they went on the road trip to San Antonio following their COVID break, and then they arrived late at night to Indianapolis for the game against the Pacers, kind of felt like they mailed that one in. Like they just said, we've played two games already in 3 days. We're tired. We got in late. Like, we're just going to give this one up and get ourselves some rest before we regroup and go home and play the Rockets. Well, you sort of saw against the Rockets that some of those bad tendencies kind of carried over. And so for me, I think I just worry that when, by the time they get to the fourth game this week, are they going to mail it in again? And I think that even the Grizzlies kind of admitted that. I mean, you can give, maybe you think differently, but to me, it sort of felt like after that Pacers game, the Grizzlies kind of admitted, yeah, we're tired, we're fatigued, we weren't ready to go tonight at all. We just didn't have it. Sorry, you know? And it's fine to have that every once in a while, and I feel like you get that during the NBA season. But when you're going to have these stretches more often than not, you can't afford to have that happen every week, or you're going to lose games that you should probably win, and you're going to play yourself out of potentially a play-in or a playoff spot. And so for me, that's the concern, is that they might mail in some of these games at the end when really they need to be trying to win those games.
And I think that the term schedule losses, you know, when you're on the third, you know, night of you know, the third game in a four-night stretch, especially on the road like they were against the Pacers, now going to be on the, you know, fourth game in five nights. The Suns are the toughest matchup that they have in this stretch of four games in five nights. I don't want to say expect it, because you don't want – yeah, I know the team doesn't want to, you know, be like that, but I certainly can understand it. You're going to have these schedule losses with just how much it takes out of you to play so many games in a short time frame. So I'm sure they'll be competitive, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if we did see that at some point over this stretch. But the other question I want to ask you is this. Now, you know, we'll obviously have you back on before the trade deadline, so we'll save the specifics for then. But over this next 6 weeks, you know, we obviously have 3 weeks, you know, it's going to be the All-Star break, and we know the return of Justice and Jaren are on the horizon. But beyond that, what's the biggest thing that you're looking for? What is the number one thing that you're really wanting to pay attention to that you consider of utmost importance when it comes to this Grizzlies team and how the season continues to progress?
I think that there's two areas. I mean, because this is a long-term project and not a short-term thing, I'm mainly interested in seeing if Kyle Anderson can keep up what he's been doing so far this year, if he truly is the shooter that we've seen, or if he's going to fall somewhere between what we're watching right now and what he's been his entire career to this point. Like, because to me, that helps determine going forward, at least in the next 3 or 4 years, you know, where he falls as a piece of this core and as a piece of this team. You mentioned Justice, obviously Justice and Jaren will be interesting to watch when they come back. And then lastly, for me, when it comes to the trade deadline and what the Grizzlies are going to do, I'm interested to see what they decide on Gorgui Dieng, because he is a big expiring contract. And while, you know, having money in free agency will be nice to be able to add someone, are you really going to be able to add someone of real significance, or are you better off just trying to move Gorgui now to a team that wants to clear cap space at the end of the year and taking something back for him in return? I don't know the answer to that. So for me, like, when it comes to trade deadline stuff, I guess he's for sure the biggest storyline. And when it comes to team progression, It's got to be Desmond Bane and Kyle Anderson, 1 and 2.
Agreed completely. And I think that when it comes to it, you know, I talked with Joe Mullinax and others here on the show as well. Just with the Grizzlies' stated desire for data accumulation to see what they've got with this team, I just think that the fact that Justice and Jaren are taking longer to come back than you had anticipated, and they're considered to be such, you know, integral, you know, parts of this team's future, I think that it makes it less likely that you're going to see someone outside of Gorgie be traded. And I agree with you. I think that if you're looking at the expiring contract of what he could offer you versus what you could get for him, I think that it would make sense for the Grizzlies to possibly go get a couple of seconds, replenish what they, you know, had to trade to get Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman in the draft, and then just have that arsenal restocked for future drafts. So I think that that would be the focus. But Drew, always a pleasure to talk with you. Can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. I know that it is a busy time for you, even if the weather is not cooperating. Some things that you've got coming up, though, for February as we lead up to the All-Star break, and just, you know, things that you know, our listeners can look out for from your great work that you always put out there.
Sure. I'm working on a few different things. The first is, and I can't tell exactly when it'll come out, but I've been working on a longer form piece on Grizzlies player development and how that sort of works, and the progression of Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. That'll be really interesting. So I would keep your eye out for that whenever that gets done. Again, I'm hoping to get it done maybe within the next week or maybe 2 weeks. In addition to that, I have a newsletter that comes out twice a week, every single Monday and Thursday. So if you haven't signed up for that, make sure you go do that. That's called Grizzlies Insider over at the Daily Memphian. Other than that, I just day-to-day Grizzlies coverage off of all these press conferences and games, and it's been a fun one this year, and hopefully, we can get out of the snow here soon and get back to games. I think I'm going to probably end up having to cover the Pelicans game tonight from my couch because I'm not going to be able to make it to the arena. So, but it's been a fun season so far, Sean, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Always a pleasure talking with you, Drew. Great stuff. And just, you know, as good as it comes when it comes to just perspective and, you know, not only, you know, when it comes to basketball, but just in general, really looking forward to that piece on Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. You can find Drew at @DrewHill_DM, a great coverage on Twitter as well. And also, obviously, him, Chris Harrington, Jeff Calkins, a lot of wonderful journalists, writers, you know, just a lot of great content over at the Daily Memphian. But for Drew Hill, my name is Sean Coleman. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SEC, the podcast, wherever podcasts are available. Let us know what you think of the show. Listen, review, and enjoy. But for Drew Hill, my name is Sean Coleman. We will have another Nitty Gritty Grind session later on today as far as the Thunder game goes. But until then, hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.